gorgeous. I'm Nikki Strong, and this is VOA 1 The Hits.
Welcome to Learning English, a daily 30-minute program from the Voice of America. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak. This program is designed for English learners, so we speak a little slower, and we use words and phrases especially written for people learning English.
On today's program, Mario Ritter Jr. reports on new asylum restrictions at the U.S.-Mexico border. Later, Brian Lynn presents this week's Science and Technology Report. We close the show with the Lesson of the Day, presented by Andrew Smith and Jill Robbins. But first,
President Joe Biden announced an executive action Tuesday that temporarily places restrictions on the number of migrants unlawfully entering the United States. The action is called a proclamation. It says people who cross the southern border of the United States illegally will not be eligible for asylum unless there is an extraordinary reason why they should be permitted to stay. Speaking at the White House, Biden said, "These actions alone aren't going to fix our immigration system, but they can help us a good deal in better managing what is a difficult challenge." The proclamation says that temporary asylum restrictions will go into effect when the average number of encounters is 2,500 or more. The U.S. Border Patrol counts all interactions with people unlawfully entering the U.S. as an encounter. This includes arrests, expulsions, and releases. The limitations will be suspended when the average number of encounters is less than 1,500. In both cases, the average is for a 7-day period. The restrictions took effect Wednesday. Information first reported by CBS News shows that U.S. Border Patrol officials recorded 3,000 apprehensions on May 20th. They also recorded an average of 3,700 apprehensions each day during the first 21 days of May. The new rules affect most persons illegally crossing the southern U.S. border. A Department of Homeland Security official, DHS, told VOA that migrants who cross the southern border and who are being processed for fast removal will meet with an asylum officer. The asylum officer will decide if there is a reason why the person can seek asylum. But the migrant can only seek asylum if they express a fear of persecution or torture. Immigration activists say this is not fair. Amy Fisher is director of refugee and migrant rights at Amnesty International USA. She told VOA, "If you're able to shout and claim asylum, then you might be able to get through. But what we know is that people don't always speak English. They don't always know that is the way that they have to seek safety." Officials who did not want to be identified spoke to VOA about the new measures. A DHS official said the measures are in effect for migrants from all over the world. In terms of returns to Mexico, we will continue to return nationals of Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, and Venezuela per our previous arrangements, the official added. There are exceptions in the proclamation for unaccompanied children and victims of a severe form of trafficking in persons. Migrants facing medical emergencies and those with valid visas or other lawful permission can enter. People who use lawful entry processes, like the U.S. Customs and Border Protection's CBP-1 mobile application, or other lawful pathways, also are not affected. A DHS official said those who illegally cross when the restrictions are in place and do not meet asylum requirements will be quickly removed. They will also face at least a 5-year ban on re-entering the U.S. and possible criminal charges. During a phone call with reporters, officials from DHS and the Justice Department said the restrictions are necessary. They said summer is a time when migrant encounters usually increase. The action on border security also takes place during an election year. American voters have shown concern about the issue. Immigration activists have criticized the measure, saying it takes away asylum protections. Amnesty International's Fisher said the proclamation will prevent more people from getting asylum. She said it would make it more difficult for people to make their claims. Fisher said the action does not sort out people that have false or ineffective asylum claims. What it does is it sorts out the most vulnerable. The American Civil Liberties Union, or ACLU, said it will bring legal action to stop the restrictions. Lee Gellert works with immigrants' rights for the ACLU. He told reporters in an email that the group will oppose the proclamation in court. Biden administration officials say the U.S. will continue to meet international requirements. These steps will strengthen the asylum system, preventing it from being overwhelmed and backed up by those who do not have legitimate claims, a DHS official said. I'm Mario Ritter, Jr.
Chinese space officials say a spacecraft has successfully collected samples from the moon and is headed back toward Earth. The unmanned spacecraft, called Chang'e 6, touched down on the lunar surface on Sunday. It launched May 3rd from a Chinese space center in southern China and was carried to space aboard a Long March 5 rocket. Space officials and Chinese media said the spacecraft landed in an area of the moon's south pole called the Aitken Basin. This area is known as the far side of the moon because it permanently faces away from Earth. NASA describes the Aitken Basin as the largest impact basin on the lunar surface. The distance from the basin's lower depths to its highest points is estimated to be over 15 kilometers. That is nearly twice the height of Earth's tallest mountain, Mount Everest. Controllers back on Earth then directed the space vehicle to use its drilling equipment and other tools to capture soil and rock samples. Space officials said earlier that Chang'e 6 was expected to collect up to 2 kilograms of soil and rock samples. The collection operation was completed by Monday. Then on Tuesday, the spacecraft lifted off from the lunar surface, carrying the samples on the trip back to Earth. The Beijing Daily newspaper reported the spacecraft displayed China's national flag at the spot where the samples were collected. China's National Space Administration said in a statement that Chang'e 6's success showed it was able to survive the test of high temperature on the far side of the moon. After launching from the lunar surface, the spacecraft was to link up with another spacecraft currently orbiting the moon. The samples would then be passed to another spacecraft designed to transport the material to Earth for study. Space officials said the planned landing is expected to take place around June 25th. It is not the first time a Chinese spacecraft has collected material from the lunar surface. The country's Chang'e 5 spacecraft traveled to the moon in late 2020. It successfully brought back about 2 kilograms of moon rocks and dust. That mission was carried out in an area known as Oceanus Procellarum. It sits on the western edge of the near side of the moon. That area is believed to have had intense volcanic activity in ancient times. But if the second Chinese collection attempt is successful, it will be the first time lunar samples from the far side of the moon have made it to Earth. China is the third nation to successfully collect lunar samples, following the United States and the Soviet Union. The last such mission happened in 1976 when an unmanned Soviet spacecraft collected 170 grams of moon material. America's Apollo program, which first put humans on the moon, landed 12 astronauts over 6 flights from 1969 to 1972. Those missions resulted in astronauts collecting about 382 kilograms of rocks and soil. Missions to the moon's far side are more difficult because the area faces away from Earth. This requires the use of a special satellite to establish and keep communications. The terrain is also more difficult to explore, with fewer flat areas to land. China has additional unmanned lunar missions planned as well. In 2026, the country's Chang'e 7 spacecraft will aim to further explore the South Polar area, including searching for water ice. Then in 2028, Chang'e 8 will carry out a series of experiments in preparation for building a long-term science base on the moon. China has said it aims to put its astronauts on the moon by 2030. I'm Brian Lin.
Brian Lin is here now to talk more about his science and technology report. Hi, Brian. Thank you for joining me.
Of course, Ashley. Thank you for having me.
This week, your report was about a Chinese spacecraft that collected rock and soil samples from the moon. This seems to have been a very quick trip as far as space missions go. Is that right?
Yes, actually, this is true. The spacecraft that traveled to the moon launched from southern China on May 3rd. And then after about a one-month trip, it landed on the lunar surface May 26th. Then the Explorer completed its collection operation in just a few days before launching again off the moon to begin the trip back home. So yes, it truly was a short stay on the moon, and this spacecraft was very focused on this particular task.
And as the report stated, this was not China's first sample collection effort, correct?
Yes, that's right. It happened in late 2020, and that mission involved a very similar spacecraft, and it also collected rock and soil samples, mostly. It, however, took place on the near side of the moon, whereas the latest mission captured material from the far side of the moon for the very first time. Scientists have said the earlier samples contained a wide mix of substances, including rocks, minerals, and dust. The material is still being examined, but the team studying it in China said it appears to be local, meaning it came from the landing site or the immediate surroundings.
All right. Thanks again for being here, Brian. And thank you for your report.
You're welcome. Thank you, Ashley.
VOA Learning English has launched a new program for children. It is called Let's Learn English with Anna. The new course aims to teach children American English through asking and answering questions and experiencing fun situations. For more information, visit our website, learningenglish.voanews.com.
My name is Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
You're listening to the lesson of the day on the Learning English podcast. Welcome to the part of the show where we help you do more with our series, Let's Learn English. This series shows Ana Mateo in her work and life in Washington, D.C.
Today, we're going to talk about a scene from Lesson 42 of the series. And we're going to explain some things about that word, scene, spelled S-C-E-N-E. Because in Lesson 42, Anna was at the scene of a crime.
A scene means the setting or place where something happens. And in a movie or play, a scene is where one series of events happens, set in one particular place.
For example, a movie can have a scene that happens in a kitchen, another scene that happens in a car, a scene that happens in a park, and so on.
In Lesson 42, the scene of the crime is just outside of the building where Anna works. Let's listen to find out what Anna saw at the crime scene. Something was stolen from someone. Listen and find out.
Hello, I'm Guy Newsman with News Channel XYZ. I'm here in Washington, D.C. at the scene of a crime. We are talking with this woman. She saw the crime during her lunch break. It looks like she hurt herself while she was trying to stop the crime. Tell us your name.
Hi, Guy. I'm Anna.
Anna? What did you see and what happened to your arm?
Guy, I was minding my own business. See, I work over there.
Mm-hmm.
I left work to get some lunch. Then suddenly, I heard a woman yelling. She was yelling like this. Help! Help! Hmm?
Two robbers were grabbing her bag. She was hitting them with her umbrella.
Is that when you hurt your arm?
No. At that time, I was not fighting the robbers.
Mm-hmm.
See, I was too far away, and I didn't have my own umbrella.
So what happened next?
They grabbed her bag and ran away.
Mm-hmm.
So I grabbed her umbrella and ran after the robbers.
Then that is the time that you hurt your arm?
No. I was yelling, stop, robbers, stop! She was yelling, hey, come back with my umbrella!
When you watch the video, you can easily see that to grab means to take something quickly and forcefully. The robbers grabbed and stole the woman's handbag, and then Anna grabbed the woman's umbrella.
The poor woman has now had two things taken from her.
We'll need to listen to more of Lesson 42 later to see if she gets them back. But first, let's talk a little bit more about this word grab.
Sure. While grab means to hold or take an object, we also use this verb informally in the expression to grab a bite. That means to get something to eat.
Yeah, and when we invite friends to go out, we often say, would you like to grab a drink? Or would you like to grab a bite?
Have you ever noticed how some words sound funny if you say them over and over?
Oh, you mean like this? Grab, 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 grab.
All right, that's enough. Yes, like that. Well, at least our listeners are getting to hear that word lots of times.
I think we might be digressing or getting away from the story of the crime scene. We still don't know how Anna hurt her arm or whether anyone caught the robbers.
True, but there's an easy way to find out. Let's listen.
Then that is the time that you hurt your arm?
No. I was yelling, stop, robbers, stop! She was yelling, hey, come back with my umbrella!
Were you afraid?
I had no time to be afraid, Guy. Well, I had time while I was resting on a bench. I had a lot of time.
Then what happened?
The robbers got on a bus. So I ran after the bus. While I was running, I tripped and fell.
And that is the time that you hurt your arm?
No. While I was lying on the ground, someone stepped on my arm.
Ouch! That's too bad.
Yeah, and they didn't apologize. Well, then the robbers got themselves kicked off the bus.
Why?
They didn't pay. You've got to pay when you get on a bus. The police came and took them away.
And that's when you hurt your arm?
No.
Then when did you hurt yourself?
Well, Guy, by this time, I was feeling very hungry. So I went to my office to get a snack.
Anna, I'm calling for help right now. Hello. Yes, please come right away. My coworker is stuck in a vending machine.
You hurt your arm in a vending machine buying a bag of chips?
I was really hungry, and the bag was stuck? I had to...
That's all from News Channel XYZ. This is Guy Newsman saying goodbye. Okay, we have to find ourselves another story, guys.
Until next time. Hi, Mom.
So, just to be clear, a vending machine has snacks in it, like bags of chips, nuts, or candy bars. You pay for the snacks at the machine, and the machine moves the snack into a place where you can reach it.
But like Anna said, sometimes the snacks get stuck, and then you can't reach them, even after you paid.
And that's when people sometimes hurt themselves, the way Anna hurt herself, by trying to get the snack They're stuck. I once heard about a man who seriously hurt himself by pulling so hard on a vending machine that the machine tipped over and fell on top of him.
That's a high price to pay for a snack. We sometimes do things to ourselves that we wish we didn't do.
Jill, I noticed that we just used the pronouns themselves, herself, himself, and ourselves. We use these reflexive pronouns when the subject of the sentence is the same as the object.
Right. So instead of saying Anna hurt Anna, we say Anna hurt herself. You can learn more about reflexive pronouns and much more by downloading the lesson plan that comes with Lesson 42 of Let's Learn English. You can find that lesson plan on our website at learningenglish.voanews.com.
I think Lesson 42 has some funny scenes that our listeners will enjoy seeing. Now, let's talk a little more about that word, scene.
Well, we have the idiomatic expression, to make a scene. That means somebody is being very dramatic and emotional to bring attention to themselves, but perhaps in a way that they shouldn't be.
When we say someone is making a scene, we are usually criticizing them for being too emotional or upsetting the people around them.
But you know what? In some situations, maybe making a scene is a good way to get people to pay attention to you.
That may be true. And I definitely think some teenagers will agree with you. But I'm not sure their parents do.
Perhaps. We also have the adjective scenic. This describes a place or places with very nice views of nature.
In the eastern United States, we have a scenic highway called the Blue Ridge Parkway. The road goes near the mountaintops of the Appalachian Mountains for hundreds of kilometers. Have you ever driven on the Blue Ridge Parkway, Jill?
I have, and from this scenic highway, can you guess what you can see?
What can I see from this scenic highway? Well, I can see lots of scenery.
That's spelled S-C-E-N-E-R-Y. Scenery is just another word for the view of nature that you can see.
So, to summarize, we can talk in general about a setting or a place, and we call that the scene. And then we have a scene from a movie or a play. And then there's the idiom, to make a scene, the adjective scenic, and the noun, scenery.
And we hope today's lesson of the day has grabbed your attention. Be sure to share it with your friends and family. You can also find us on YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram. And thanks for listening to the Learning English Podcast. I'm Jill Robbins.
And I'm Andrew Smith.
That's our program for today. Join us again tomorrow to keep learning English through stories from around the world. I'm Ashley Thompson.
And I'm Dan Novak.